Hello and welcome back to the Humanity Podcast. I am your host, Michael McPherson, and I am here once more with my dearest, most sacred, beloved, Mackenzie Marsloff.
Hello. Can you hear me okay?
Hello.
I really
jolted you because I just jumped right on before giving you
I was trying to fix my hair, and he didn't let me, but that's okay.
Well, you know how it can be. Women getting ready, it can take so long.
We want to look perfect.
That was interesting.
Should we start over?
What even was that?
Okay, I guess we're not starting over. Well, I just want to say that this feels so good to be recording with you again.
Yeah, I agree.
Because there were many times where... Oh, this actually feels a lot better. Do you
That's
need...
That's so loud.
Here, I'll make yours louder.
You're going to be screaming in people's ears.
Great. They can turn it down if they need to.
Well, you heard it here first, folks. If Mackenzie's voice is too loud, just turn her down.
Anyway, all I was saying is that many times we've gone to record a new episode in this last bit of time, and it just didn't feel right. So what I'm really getting from that is that you can set in structures and, of course, have commitments, but sometimes it's just not right. So I'm really glad we waited because actually I was, like, stoked to get on today. And it felt right, and I was like, yeah, let's do this, you know?
Yeah, I suppose it's good to have some fluidity in our schedule to not be so masculine, if you will.
Yes, and sometimes it's good to have schedule. Which we don't have a lot of.
You make a great point.
What are we talking about today?
It would seem as if both polarities are needed, both the masculine and the feminine.
Yeah, exactly.
How crazy is that?
What would you like to talk about today?
Oh, I was hoping that you could tell us.
Well, I think we should give everybody a cool update about Request Bar. Because I love Request Bar.
Because you really want to.
Yeah, we haven't talked about that in a long time.
Basically, since our last podcast recording.
Exactly. We went to Oregon and we shared about that.
Yep.
And then what we didn't share is that on September 1st, we moved to Kauai from Maui into a new home.
Oh, I forgot. This is our first recording.
Yes.
In Kauai, in our new home. So that is a celebration.
Yes, exactly. And then we participated in a virtual dieta. Mm-hmm. With a shaman in Peru through a company called Aya Healing Retreats.
And with a plant called Noia Rao.
Which is the tree of light. So we did 7 days of preparation and then 10 days of the dieta itself and then an integration afterwards. That was actually during our quarantine when we got to Kauai on September 1st through 14th.
In which we were visited 6 days out of 14 by both the police and the, what's the term? National Guard.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So they're very strict here. So we didn't break the rules, even though I thought we were going to be, but we did not have the opportunity to break the rules. We stayed here and we figured it out. But the dieta was incredibly deep, and we had the opportunity to actually sit with Madre, with ayahuasca, during the time of our dieta. And so we received some beautiful downloads and healing and connection and all the things that you receive and experience in ceremony. But my point is, well, it was actually about Request Bar, but I'm now diverting over to the dieta in that Michael and I really went into it over the last month. I would say post dieta is where you and I had a lot of stuff come up and we're invited into integrating our dieta into our union. Mm. And for myself, I learned so much more about interpersonal dynamics, and we're always being invited into really clearing out any codependency that shows up in our relationship. And so it feels like we're always, like, we get invited a few times a year to kind of clear that out. But this time was pretty painful and challenging. And so we really leaned in and we really dove deep with each other. And now after integrating that experience, we can be here today together, which is another celebration.
Mm-hmm.
Would you like to say anything about that before we end? Maybe we'll end with the request bar stuff.
Well, I don't know what I want to say about it. It was incredibly challenging. First of all, the dieta was really beautiful, but the some of the built-in structures around the dieta were some things that we weren't accustomed to. So we really, over the course of about 3 weeks, gave each other our own personal space. For instance, while we were in the actual dieta, not only were we not having sex, not making love, but we also weren't even kissing.
Mm-hmm.
So that was new for us. So it really highlighted some things. For you, I would say it highlighted some desires that you have, some sacred desires. You got really present to some sacred desires of yours. And then for me, mine was very personal. So, you know, when we popped out of the other side and we started working on our relationship, I was kind of taken by surprise. And so naturally I had resistance to it. Naturally I thought something was wrong here. Naturally it's like the whole world is being upheavaled right now. And then that seemed to have found its way into our relationship. So we really questioned everything. And I think the positive side of that was that we were able to come to a place of curiosity and really give ourselves permission to even explore the question of whether or not this is right for us, or are we still meant to be in this relationship? And I think previous to this time, we wouldn't even let ourselves entertain the question, one, because it wasn't actually there for us to, but two, because it evoked such fear for both of us.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Definitely.
Yeah.
In addition to the fact that we had signed up for this dieta and the experience that it was going to bring, in addition to what's going on the planet and that we are committed in our union to be a vessel for whatever desires to heal through us. So in addition to both those things, we also had agreed to get legally married this year.
Mm.
And we are getting married in 2022. We basically act like we're married. I call Michael my husband. He calls me his wife.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people think we're married, but legally we're not. So we were going to be getting married in 2022, still are. But we had decided to legally actually carry out those papers in this year, and to have a really sacred experience between the two of us. And I can share for myself that really was putting a lot of it put a lot of pressure on the relationship, and in a good way. It actually, just the energy of, or the knowing that we are going to be signing these papers, had me confront where I am holding on to some things from my bloodline, as it pertains to feeling safe within a relationship, specifically as it pertains to marriage.
Well, you can go right into it. I mean, if you want to just tell people what exactly that is, I don't have any reservation around that.
Yeah, no, for sure. So what really kept coming up for me was this feeling of not feeling safe in my relationship. So when I would sit with my emotions, that's what would be there. I don't feel safe in my relationship. And then when I was really committed to contemplating that and feeling that, it was very evident that that's not actually what's showing up in my relationship. My actual relationship isn't reflecting any sense of unsafety, and it hasn't. And so I think what that had me do is like, well, then why is that feeling here? If my relationship actually is safe, then why is the feeling of unsafety here right now? And this is just one layer of everything that we were experiencing. But it was extremely powerful for me, because as I went into that feeling, I was taken back to very, very, very early childhood memories and experiences and my environment. And what I really became present to was that feeling actually wasn't mine, but it was my mom's. And that my mom had felt inherently unsafe in her relationship, which was a marriage, at a very young age. And I was only I was a baby. And so she felt unsafe. And so I was picking up on that lack of safety my entire early years.
Probably from conception till you had your break with the family, right? Well, conception until now. And absolutely. Honestly, the imprinting that you received.
Yes, absolutely. And of course, I've been on my healing journey for many years now. And so I've really explored all of these different concepts and ways I was impacted from my childhood and those certain traumas. But there was something really special about this time that it did, in fact, bring me even deeper into a realization that I had absorbed on such a subtle level, this feeling of unsafety. And I was really being brought back to these memories of just almost, just feeling very unsettled, even as a baby, feeling very unsettled in my own home and around my mom specifically, but she was the one that was primarily there. And what then I ended up realizing is that my mom wasn't someone to blame for that. It actually brought me into so much compassion for her because I got to think about her experience of life at that time and the uncertainties that she had around money and around being provided for and around having not only a partner there as a masculine presence for her, but also as a father for her children. And all of these unknowns and how unsafe and fearful that would have, translated in her body without having any awareness or tools. And so that is something I, at being always around her, absorbed it. And this is something Richard Rudd talks about, is like literally babies and children are sponges. They're absorbing in their auric field everything that's going on with their parents emotionally and physically and mentally and spiritually. And so, I just really had this realization, this incredible release, and I let that go. And then I don't know even what else to share, but you ended up saying, why don't we take getting married this year off the table? Because this is, we keep saying like we need to have our relationship figured out by then. That's what I kept saying. We didn't we can't just like get married right now when all of this turmoil is happening.
Well, I think I just noticed the pressure that was causing on us, on you in particular. Like it was the reasoning behind we need to sort all of this out tonight.
Yeah, right.
Because we're getting married in X amount of days and 2 weeks and whatever. So I was like, well, why don't we, instead of trying to force our way through this right now, like, why don't we give it some breathing room and allow it to unfold naturally and take the pressure off? You know, pressure is good, especially if you're working through something challenging. A healthy amount of pressure will have you go into something that maybe you would otherwise set aside, sideline. But it felt like it was too much, or an unprecedented, there's that word, amount of pressure, so to take the pressure off felt like it would bring us both a sense of relief, allow us both to take maybe a deeper inhale, and then actually sort through, whatever it is that was trying to reveal itself. Because you and I both know that how things tend to surface or present in our union is typically not what they're about. Usually there's some unraveling that we have to do together to get to the source of what it is that we're actually working on, right? So.
Yeah. And there was, in addition to that individually, there were so many, and I think the reason why I want to share this is because the other day a couple had told Michael that hearing our podcast is what actually has allowed them and empowered them to stay together and to work through their challenging times. That was so inspiring for me. So I was like, oh, well, we have so much that we could share, not in terms of wisdom, like, hey, this is what you do for a conscious relationship, but more so to be like honest about our experiences and maybe it'll contribute. So for us, in addition to what was coming up individually, there were a lot of communication situations that were arising, breakdowns, which is exactly for sure. What our planet is going through right now. You look at it on a world stage, no one's actually communicating honestly, cleanly, healthily. No one's actually being heard. No one's speaking from their truth, from their, you know, their center. And there seems to be a lack of like emotional maturity. And so that really showed up in our relationship. It was just constant triggers, especially in communication. And I ended up feeling at certain times, just no matter what I would say, your ego would just lash out, you know, and like you were so resistant to going into it with me. But then at the same time, you know, humbling myself and realizing like that's how it's meant to play out right now.
For sure. I think my ego felt blamed for everything that you were experiencing. So mm-hmm. We both had our own resistance to it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Especially in terms of communication, you know, the way that's unfolding on a global scale right now, the way people aren't listening to each other, the way we aren't even really listening to ourselves. But when you and I actually got over our egos and humbled ourselves enough to even just sit in the same room together and start a dialogue, what we realized pretty quickly is that we both actually had the same desires.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
So the way it was playing out was very confronting.
Mm-hmm.
And when we actually got to the bottom of it, it's like we were both trying to get to the same result, right?
So what would be your recommendation, especially to a man of a woman that feels a lot and is committed to transmuting certain emotions to her body? What, and also just a man in union period, you know, that desires to grow and have a conscious relationship. Like, what would you recommend in terms of what you've learned and how to lean in an empowering way?
Well, there's a lot there. So I think what I have learned throughout this experience is the most empowering thing is for me to be fully responsible for my emotions.
Mm-hmm.
So I kept wanting to blame you for not being responsible for your emotions, which then justified me being in my emotion, which is usually frustration, anger, at times even rage, right? So to be fully responsible for my emotions and also to have kind of a rational understanding of relationship, right? So some of the context for us right now is that we have never been here before. You and I have never been in a relationship that's lasted this long.
Mm-hmm.
You and I have never been in a relationship that's gone this deep. You and I don't have any role models for a relationship like ours. We have some, but not really close to us. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So we are very much in the discovery of what it looks like to be in a twin flame relationship as we go through our global ascension process and also do that personally, right? So we're just figuring it out. So to have some grace for that and the practicality piece being to know when it's probably not the best idea for us to go into something, for instance, if we're both already emotionally triggered and mm-hmm. can't hold space for each other.
Right.
So it works really well if we can take turns in a way.
Yeah.
For maybe you to express your emotion, your experience, for me to get your experience.
Mm-hmm.
And then once you feel a certain level of satisfaction in being heard, we kind of flip and go the other way, which is something you and I are obviously practicing. We're not perfect at by any means. But to be able to identify, like, even just say honestly, like, hey, I'm actually not in a place to hold space for you right now. And I think it would be best if we both just took a second and breathe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally.
But yeah, eventually, you know, it takes a huge humbling of the ego for sure to set it all aside. And, you know, I remember when we were going through it, you kept asking me like, well, what are you committed to? What are you committed to?
Totally.
And I, at that time, kept saying, I'm committed to my own happiness. But then again, that was what I was working through at the time, right? To really, during the dieta, I was going inward and focusing on myself and seeing like how in many ways I've lived my life for other people, and that's not to blame anyone else, but to say like at this point I'm really here for me, right? Mm-hmm. And so I kept saying my happiness, I'm committed to my happiness. And you know, I think the truth of that was, would it be, I'm committed to our union. I'm committed to this working. I'm committed to us finding a way back to the center, because we could have easily split, you know, and we were even in that energy of just calling it quits, both of us, right? And being where we are now, I'm so grateful that we didn't, because I'm just having the most fulfilling experience of union with you. So you asked me about advice. There's a lot that I could say, right? But it comes back to the most basic principles. It comes back to breath, comes back to awareness, comes back to recognizing, like, you know, if I'm already in a place of reaction, if I'm already in fight or flight, then I'm probably not going to do a good job of having a rational conversation with you. Or I'm probably not going to do a good job of not being further triggered by your emotions, mm-hmm. right? And we're different creatures in that sense, you know? So what I've learned is that you don't want me to necessarily fix your emotions or change in that instance or change something about our relationship in that instance. You're really wanting to be heard and understood. And what I've found for myself is it's the same thing for me. Mm-hmm. I'm really wanting, when I'm in my, for me, it's mostly hurt when I feel hurt. I don't necessarily want to be made to feel better or to be, the word coddled is what I used to use, but that's not like an empowering word. I don't want to be necessarily nurtured in that moment. I just want to be understood.
Mm-hmm. Which you tend to, your hurt doesn't always come out as hurt right away. It normally comes out as like an attack or anger or like insults. Like, how can I hurt her to keep me away?
I wouldn't say always. I would say those are the extreme cases.
Totally. In this situation.
Yeah, that's not definitely not where I live. But yeah, I think the pain points just kind of started to accumulate, you know, and we were in a really open, we were working with medicine, you know, our hearts are really wide open. And obviously, in that sense, we had a container inside of which all of this was happening, right? Which we forget. And that's something for couples to remember as well. Like, if you have a container, everything's happening inside of your container, then you know it's happening for a reason. You know it's sacred. You know there's something to learn from it. But yeah, my heart just felt so open that the pain of being hurt, and in this instance, what felt hurt by you, was having me lash out to protect myself from feeling further pain, which is, you know, something I've done throughout my entire life. And something that I have continued to do even in this relationship, obviously.
Well, it's interesting because I think a lot of women probably do experience that. And it's interesting because as it's coming out, it's like, you know, it doesn't, we would never know that there was a vulnerability under it until you've really practiced and really been like, oh, okay, this is vulnerable. He actually is hurt and he's trying to, keep himself from feeling that. So do you have any advice for like the woman in terms of holding space for that, or also what has worked for yourself so that you don't end up saying things that end up, you know, hurting? Like, can you just talk to me about like your experience of that and then how you're leaning into what you've learned from it, essentially?
Yeah. So I think a lot of times something will happen, something will get said, something will be done, and I'll feel hurt, right? But there's a period of like understanding what's happening inside of me. That makes sense?
Mm-hmm.
Like you feel it and then it's like I go inward for a second. Like my first response is to go in and kind of sort out and look at what's going on in here, right? And if we're together right away, there can be a sense of like pressure to do it faster or to get to it faster or to like tell the truth when I'm not necessarily even sure what the truth is yet.
Mm.
Do You know what I mean? So yeah. I've learned that I'm really maybe unique in the sense that I need a second to just kind of be with myself and get present to what I'm actually feeling so that from the pressure and the stress, I don't communicate something that I don't actually mean.
Yeah.
Right. And then with hurt for me, it's mostly a sense of rejection.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times the hurt shows up when I feel like I'm in my innocence and I'm just like playing with you and having fun. And then I find out maybe later or even in that moment that it didn't feel that way for you, right? You felt like I was picking on you, or you felt like I was belittling you, or, you know, you felt whatever you felt. And so then it's like, oh, you know, it's typically around my innocence, right? In the play. And when I react, it's usually in protection of my innocence. Now, I couldn't like rationally tell you that in the moment, but looking back after the fact, it always feels like that. So I need to take a moment to get present to what's happening inside of me. And then really there's a choice from there, right? There's a choice to reveal. And so, like, for instance, what I think about is that the recent experience we had at the gym. So Mackenzie and I have been going to the same gym together since we moved to Kauai, and it's been super fun and a new experience for us because we haven't done that in our relationship. So it's been really fulfilling. And so I was like being playful with you one day at the gym, and you were going through something about us, and it kind of blew me off, right? And so the next thing I know, I was like standing in the middle of the gym surrounded by these big, burly, like grunting men, having just been like rejected by my woman. And I'm like, oh, wow. You know, and it wasn't even something that I expected to feel, you know, but there it was. I felt really vulnerable. I felt like, oh, wow. Everyone just watched you like just totally disregard me. And now I was just like standing naked, this little boy inside of this big gym. So my initial response was to get pissed at you and to like mount an internal defense and be guarded and just like, you know, put up walls. And then whenever we would get back in the car together, just be like, yeah, whatever, you know, just whatever, you know.
Yeah.
And I just in that moment made a constructive choice to tell you the truth, you know. Mm-hmm. And that was a really great example because you actually were mad, you know. You were in your sacred anger.
Yeah, but can I cut in?
Absolutely.
So this is really important for not just the woman, but anyone that experiences anger. So I started exercising and I felt this like we had gone through so much and come out of it and been starting to integrate. As I'm running, I feel this like anger rising in me. And I'm like feeling the primal nature of anger and the purity of it. This is energy. This is energy that needs to be moved. And rather than projecting it on Michael, coming to him, being like, you, I was like, I'm just going to fucking move this anger and I'm going to let it come through. So when we got in the car, I told you, I don't know who went first, but we were both like, I think committed at that point to owning our own experience. So I said, I'm working through some anger right now.
Yeah.
And then you said,
I'm just feeling hurt by that exchange that we had in there.
Mm.
And my tendency would be to protect myself and like put up a hard shell and, you know, be guarded. And I just don't want to do that.
And for me, that was, I could even feel the emotion of it now. 'Cause it was like, oh wow. I received that. I received that he, I just received his like genuine, tender, powerful love for me and his desire to connect, and how that, yeah, that just, it softened me so much. So I appreciated you sharing that, because it brought us together. And then I think we ended up driving down the street and having another powerful conversation and just started really playing with this notion of kind of rising out of the, I think for both of us and for the world, teenager mentality around communication.
For sure.
And rising into, like you said, we don't have examples. What does it look like to actually communicate, you know, like an adult, whatever, that's cliche, but from a place of holding ourselves and yeah. owning our full experience without making the other one wrong, it's really hard to do when you're triggered.
For sure. Well, I think what we're both working on is reeling in the energy of blame and victimhood and yeah. being the victim of one another, which again is something that's playing out on a global scale, right? Mm-hmm. There's a victim and a victor, a perpetrator and a victim. Mm-hmm. And you and I have had a long run at that in our relationship, not all the time, but we've certainly had our fair share of fights where that's the basis or the foundation of it. Mm-hmm. And I think we're shifting into a place where we are desiring to be more considerate of each other's experience mm-hmm. and just acknowledging that we're two different people having two different experiences, each one of us desiring to be fully responsible for our own experience. But also, you know, we are in union together. We do have the capacity to hold each other through what we go through. And that's the beauty of it. It's not a burden that we have to carry because we're in union, because I'm stuck with you. I have to put up with your emotions. It's not that. It's we actually have this beautiful opportunity, this chance to work with each other in a really empowering way, a really loving way. Because we've signed up to do this really big work.
Yeah, and it's so emotionally mature for you to, or me to say, I'm not in a space to hold you right now. I'm not in a space to hold space for that right now. And I think it takes so much awareness of the self, because again, as that trigger comes up, it's challenging to not want to go into it and respond or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
Even if I'm thinking that I'm talking from a whole place, even if I think I'm not being in like the shadow of conflict, even if I think I'm being rational, if you're not in a place to hold space, it's not going to go well. So I think, yeah, that's something you and I really are taking from this experience, where if you're sharing, my lesson is to listen. Listen longer. My mind works so fast and I'm like, oh, it could be this, and then I go, and then you're then like, what the hell? I didn't even, number one, get to express, two, be heard, and number three, I'm confused, like where did I even start,
right?
You know?
Yeah, I was just trying to tell you that I was hurt. It is for me mostly around my hurt. And it's interesting because we in union as we are, it's like the real things for us are almost always mirroring something from our younger lives, from our childhood, right? And when we were going through what we were going through after the dieta, you were expressing desires that you had that you felt that weren't being met. And what I was hearing was that I wasn't doing it for you, or that you needed me or wanted me to be different, right?
Yeah.
Other than I was, which is like something that I had heard in different ways throughout the course of my life, you know? Pick one thing, you should be a part of the church, you should do what we're doing. And I, throughout my life, I would even mold myself to match whatever environment I was in. I would chameleon, and that would give me this false sense of belonging when internally I just really didn't feel like I belonged anywhere. So that being mirrored here was like the ultimate like crushing experience, because like, wow, now even the person that I'm closest to, that I love the most, that loves me the most, can't tolerate my being. And so I really, for myself, felt like I was being completely stripped of any sense of acceptance externally. And that was one of the most powerful things that I took away from our experience, was this moment where it was like, I felt viscerally that if we were to conclude our relationship, that I would be okay. That I would be able to love myself enough to take care of myself and move forward from here without slipping back into all the old patterns, all the bullshit behaviors, the drinking, the sex, the whatever else, that I would truly be able to stand on my own feet in who I am today and go forward. And that was really empowering for me. I actually never, you know, in 31 years of my life, never been able to really feel myself standing in that place, right? So that's the beauty of this work. That is a part of me that was brought into wholeness. based on something on the outside that was really traumatic, really challenging, really difficult. But stepping away or beyond or the aftermath of that experience is like, there is a part of me that's been made whole that wouldn't, most likely wouldn't have been made whole in any other way. And that's like an essence of power now that lives inside of me, you know? And now, like, I really, I viscerally feel that I'm here by choice. I'm here because I want to be here. I'm here because I love you. And we've experienced that in our union. Like, there's definitely been this turning of a page, if you will, in terms of our devotion and actual expression of love towards one another.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I just feel the emotion because I remember when we finally, like, dropped energetically, we dropped our guards and we were just both like, this might not work. Like, yeah. I think I'm losing you.
Yeah.
You know? And it was kind of like, yeah, you might be. Like, we might be losing each other here. Mm. This might not work. And just to let ourselves feel that and just like accept it, that we can't control that. You know, we can't control what the divine has in store for us in our lives. But to know that like God's got us individually, and to just like look at each other in that moment and have so much love. And like, you were amazing because you were like my old self back in the day. It would have been like, you know, I feel like we're losing each other. And I'd want you to be like, no, you're definitely not losing me. I'm here 100%. Like, this is what I'm committed to. Da, da, da. And it's like, that's the safety. But right. Instead, we were both like honest. We're like, yeah, we don't know. But you said, what I do know is that what we've built here and what we've created, like what we've there, like no matter what we choose and no matter what happens, we're going to do it with integrity and love for each other and absolute respect and with absolute like conscious awareness of whatever we decide. And then I was just like, okay. And so we just like breathed, you know, like, okay, so let's just give it some space. Let's just see what happens. Let's just let this calm down a little bit, you know?
Yeah.
And that was actually another beautiful takeaway to realize that we don't have to have everything figured out in every moment.
Yeah.
My mind wants that though, because of like, this false illusion of safety.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. There is something to be said about like, you know, because I did feel the pressure from myself, even in that moment, to provide a sense of, to be the masculine role and provide a sense of certainty and safety and say like, no, this and this, but it would have been inauthentic to me.
Yeah.
And then I would have had to live with that. Mm-hmm. Right. And then like the questions that continue, the doubts, because I didn't give myself full permission to go into it when it was there. Right. And I feel like something really powerful you and I discovered, and it was really based on your invitation, was the freedom to express anything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there were some things that we took off the table because we were, it made us feel more comfortable. Like, we'll never talk about breaking up. We'll never talk about being with other people. We'll never talk about X, Y, and Z, right?
Those were unspoken agreements for sure.
Yeah, those are places we just won't go.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like our spirits knew that that was hindering us, not because we actually wanted to be with anyone else or because we wanted to be anywhere other than where we are. It was just like the lack of freedom to be able to even say it.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly. And so you and I really both got present to the desire just to be able to say, approach anything with curiosity.
Mm-hmm.
To like, we should, anything should be able, there should be nothing off limits in terms of what can come out of our mouth. And of course, always with reverence and respect. Mm-hmm. It's not like we're just going to poop out of our mouth, you know. We're going to say things with intention as always, but we should be free to explore anything, you know, and really be honest with our desires in that way and exploratory, right?
Exactly. Yes. Because at the end of the day, like you said, you're committed to your own happiness. And I know that you have other commitments, but you're right. If we have to be committed to that. And so I know for me, one pressure of getting married was like, just there was a soul desire to be able to say anything and still be loved. Mm-hmm. And you and I have shared so much with each other about our past, and we've loved each other through so much, but we hadn't ever gone to these greater kind of conversations of, like, doubting the relationship, potentially talking about being with other people, what that would look like, you know, fear around being, you know, like, am I going to be sexually satisfied? You know, am I sexually satisfied? Like, all these questions that you had, that I had, and for you and I, they came up at totally different times, which was really weird and random. Mm-hmm. But we ended up, like, hearing each other, and there was nothing to fix or get to. It was literally just hear each other.
Yeah.
And then, like, that just brought so much freedom. And I think we were lucky that, like, those conversations, it wasn't like, okay, this is happening. Like, how is this going to impact our life? But that could one day, you know, we could have something like that where we do have to kind of dive into, okay, like, how are we choosing to move forward? But for us, the gift was just to be able to say anything and be heard, to not be made wrong, for the other person to not take it personally, you know?
Yeah.
And, yeah, it was good.
Well, we just rocketed through about 40 minutes of that.
I know.
Which is beautiful. Do you want to go into what we actually spoke about and how healing that was for us, or do you want to go in a different direction from here?
Do you want to? I mean, I was going to share about, like, how this also showed up in my other relationships and what I've been taking away.
Yeah.
In terms of just interpersonal dynamics, mm-hmm. especially as it pertains to, like, family.
Let's do it.
Are you sure?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I've been really contemplating since going through this amazing experience with Michael. I've been really contemplating how do unhealthy relationship dynamics show up in our life, in our lives as a collective? And what does a healthy relationship even mean? What does it look like? What does it feel like? And we're so blessed to have all these incredibly healthy, thriving friendships and connections. And at the same time, though, just like anyone, we have the people in our lives that trigger us and that can really challenge us and confront us. So for myself, it was like taking what I was learning with Michael after really noticing a lot of my patterns of just all my patterns that come from my past, whether it's generational or personal, and noticing how, like, that showed up in my other relationships. So for instance, for me, it was with my sister, of noticing how, like, much I have tried to rescue her, or where I've wanted to help her halfway from a good place, but halfway from another, of, like, wanting to be accepted and approved of. Mm. And then even just that notion of having that slight energy there, how does that impact our relationship? How does that impact the way I communicate with her? And so anyway, in my ayahuasca ceremony, I was blessed by being so beautifully prepared by Madre to have this conversation with my sister, where I just got to really be in my sovereign power, like, not in my power as, like, better than or anything, but more so that I wasn't speaking from a place of needing approval, acceptance, trying to get anywhere, trying to fix anything, but more so just feeling so whole in myself that I was completely unattached from what she came forward with or how our relationship goes, or more so for me, like, the timeline of which our friendship continues to unfold. And I'm just noticing for myself with my own family how many lack of boundaries there are with each other, but it really comes down with, like, the sovereign boundaries within oneself. Hmm. And the true, like, self-worth and, like, true self-value that the women in my family have, and therefore the way that they go about their communications are, like, to prove themselves or to be right or to be of value. And I'm just, for myself, I really got present to how I'm not separate from that. I'm not better than that. I actually have that in my blood. And I don't know if I'm doing a good job explaining it. I'm just kind of saying that I am now so committed to having that crystal clarity, being able to see it, and then being able to see where it could show up in any of my relationships.
If I can just reflect back to you, I think you're saying that you're what you saw and judged in probably both your mother and your sister, an element of that lives inside of you.
Oh yeah, totally. Yes. That's it. It's like, yeah. And how I really on a soul level desired to, again, rise out of that stuck teenager, that teenage emotional maturity, which is typically reactive from the ego, defensive, and I feel it can be very sneaky because for me, I'm more of a people pleaser. So it like hides mm-hmm. in the background. Yeah. And so anyway, I got to like really be on this call with my sister and just be so calm and relaxed in my body. And I've noticed like another big thing I've been contemplating is just I have my judgment for others is like literally go night and day. And I know that has to do with the judgment of myself. Mm. You know, like I feel like I've become more open to all kinds of friends from all kinds of backgrounds to no matter whether they're spiritual or not, like I'm just more open, which is something I wrote about in one of my prerequisite for my business book. But it's really, I think it comes down to those interpersonal dynamics, and I'm just excited to continue to explore those. Mm. Yeah.
Well, I love that because I have witnessed that piece or that part of you throughout the course of our relationship, that part that is like judgmental towards yourself, you know, incredibly hard on yourself, like this internal perfectionist around how could I be different? What could I do differently? Mm. You know, what was my part in this? What can I be responsible for? Almost to a fault.
Yeah.
Right? Your instinct was to look for fault in yourself.
Totally.
Before maybe even practically evaluating the situation, right? Which there's a healthy aspect of that, which yes. is that you're always seeing internally, you're always evaluating, you're always growing. And then there's a disempowering aspect of that where maybe you're taking responsibility for more than your part. Mm-hmm.
Yes. And that's something I'm still kind of contemplating because even in my prerequisite PDF, I shared with such, I feel, generous radical responsibility on where I contributed to a certain situation that happened in my life a couple years ago. And because it is a good thing because it's like, I know that if I would have been whole in myself, that wouldn't have happened. Like it's 100% of my responsibility. I see it as that because I know it would not have unfolded that way if it wasn't for my side. I just tend to not remember that there is another side mm. and that I don't, how can I take responsibility in an empowering way rather than a disempowering way? That's like, oh, I'm really working on this, or, oh yeah, I see where I could have done that differently, but like not actually also say, and my experience of this was this, you know?
Yeah. And you're being a dick. That one could apply at home. I could really see where I could have done the, you know, communicated differently. And you're still being a dick.
You're still being really mean.
Which it points yeah. to something, right? You know, right. they're obviously two different people, two different experiences, but two different realities.
Yeah.
That are both valid and that are serving a purpose. Mm. And how can we hold space for both?
Totally.
Rather than, you know, where we're at, especially globally, is like, my perspective is right, your perspective is wrong, when really like all of this is happening for us. So each person is receiving whatever they're meant to receive, mm. right? And process and work through. But that's true in relationship as well. Mm-hmm. Like it seems like we're on two different sides of the same experience. Whatever happened, happened. And then you and I have two very polar experiences, right?
Yeah.
Or interpretations or perspectives.
Yeah.
But this one is serving you and this one is serving me. So rather than me trying to get you to come over here with me and see this perspective, or you trying to get me to come over there with you and get your perspective, which we can absolutely do and should do, right? To understand the other person's experience. Mm. But how can we also come from this perspective like we're getting exactly what we need?
Yeah.
In this experience. So what am I getting? What am I learning from that? How am I going to integrate it? How is that going to empower me, right?
That's like exactly what Gay Hendricks talks about in his book when he talks about the genius move. Like, what can I control and what can't I control? And in this experience, I cannot control how you're experiencing it.
Right.
I cannot control your perspective. I cannot, but then I try to. And that's where it's like life is a living hell. If I'm trying to get you to see it my way, number one, that's not unconditionally loving you and honoring your soul's path, your guidance, your, you know, your journey,
whatever little dose of medicine I need at this point in the journey, right?
Yeah, at this point, you don't even have to think about it because that just happens, right? We just get dosed with it because you and I are aware. But it's a balance. It's definitely a balance. You know, in this relationship, you and I have agreements to share where there might be blind spots. Mm. So like, for instance, I was really angry feeling like you don't provide this and this and this for me. And you're just like, oh, well, when I calmed down or was in a different space, you were like, can I invite you into something? And I was like, sure. And you're like, that has to do with your dad. And I was like, what do you mean? You're like, you're mad at him. And I was like, I don't want to be mad at him because that means something about my mom. Like, I just, you know, and you're like, yeah, that's the thing. You won't let yourself actually feel anger to him, towards him. So then you project that on me. And then I was actually in a space to hear that. Right. So yeah. You and I have agreements where you and I can point each other's shadows out, point each other's wounds out, our come froms, all the things. But honestly, I don't have those agreements with anyone else in my life. And sometimes I've tried to.
Yeah.
And it's come across wrong, especially I've put it into writing before, like, not cool. Don't ever do it. And it's just, I'm not a master of communication. I'm so far from being a master of communication, but it's something I'm really interested in because I want to have my relationships be like it genuine, authentic, a two-way communication.
Yeah. Yeah, you're pointing to something that I think is really powerful, and the energy of agree to disagree doesn't really work in union.
Yeah.
In fact, that's what leads to resentment. That's what leads to walls. That's what causes distance between people. And I can see where I have tried to implement that here and say, like, yeah, you know, keep it quote unquote simple. Agree to disagree. You know, we have different perspectives on that, which not to say that it's not perfect to have different perspectives. It's important to have different perspectives.
Right.
But when something is left unfinished, where basically we are unwilling to get the other person's experience, it leaves us less whole as a couple. It leaves us less whole in our union. And so you don't have to share the perspectives that your partner shares. You just have to be willing to understand and get their perspective. That's it, really. And really understand it, not get it to get it and move on.
Yeah.
Like, okay, yeah, I get it. Let's go. Get in the car. We're going to this thing. It's like to really understand. And, you know, when you were talking, I remember having this conversation with you about family. And, you know, we both have unique family backgrounds. And I'm sure a lot of people listening have their own unique family backgrounds. So this essence of, like, we don't necessarily know, just like we don't really know what divine union is. We're figuring it out as we go. The same is true for family. And so there is this, like, known perspective on family. That's when you're family, you work through anything, right? You just, no matter what it is, you always come back to the center. You always come back together, sit in circle, and, you know, everybody just finds a way to get along. I'm finding it's like that and then some, right? It's more than just getting along. It's really like you and I in our experience of family is understanding each other mm-hmm. on an incredibly deep level, and no one else other than family could possibly understand you or have the privilege to see into your life and see into your past and see into who you are in that way. And that's what family is. Mm. That's like seeing the whole of someone and loving them unconditionally, right?
Yes, that's it. It's all about unconditional love. That's what I keep getting invited into. That, first of all, I love what you were saying about understanding someone, because I've really had to learn that to bring curiosity to something. And as a woman, number one, I'm holding my wounds and my shadows and my fears and my traumas, but I'm also holding my intuition. And so there can be times where those are crossed over, and I can bring it to Michael and be like, you know, maybe state an opinion about his life and how I think, how I see it and how I think it could go. And so there's, it's interesting because it could be collapsed on top of each other. And so I'm finding that the best way to actually go about it is to just bring curiosity to it. Ask him a question. Mm. Ask, what's your experience of that? What have you been thinking about this lately? Where are you coming from? And then, like, when we do that, you always have some answer. I'm like, oh, that makes so much sense. Like,
yeah.
What was I thinking? And yeah, it's a balance, but I think that that piece is important. But really, it comes down to unconditionally loving your partner. You know, if you're choosing to be with them, I hope that you like them and that they're cool, but and that you have the same agreements and commitments in life, same value system. But really, at the end of the day, you're still going to have different perspectives. You're going to have different ways of being, different ways of working, different ways of living, different things that we like. And you and I are identifying those things more than ever. And yet, to then unconditionally love each other through that, rather than trying to change each other, I think has been so empowering.
Yeah. Well, it definitely doesn't hurt that you're so hot either.
I was just going to say the same thing about you. So definitely agree to agree.
Yeah. Well, we've got about 3 minutes left. Aww. What do you think we should touch on before we break?
Let's see. Let's just share that quick thing about Request Bar.
Oh, wow. I forgot that we were even going to talk about Request Bar.
Well, so we found land. It's backed up against the National Forest. It's 3 lots of land that are apparently going to be like the last plots available that are zoned accurately for literally 10 years. So weirdly, we were connected to this land and we're like, oh my gosh, like this is where we want to build our future manufacturing facility. But our intention for funding the manufacturing facility was to sell the company Delighted By and therefore reinvest it into Request Bar. Well, that's still the dream. That's still the goal. It's still the intention.
Yeah.
And so we went into ceremony and one of our intentions was to listen and hear how can we, you know, secure this land without having the resources right now. And Mama Aya said, like, request it. Request to the developer. Request to the owner of the land to hold it for you. And I remember telling you the next day, you were like, whoa, like I don't think they'll ever have been asked that before. I wonder what they're gonna say. And
I was skeptical for sure.
Yeah.
Not of the guidance that you got, but yeah. They're just traditional or seemingly traditional developers, you know. So mm-hmm. when I see people that have been operating a business for 30 years, I'm thinking they've got a way of operating and it doesn't look like that. Right? It doesn't look like them just out of the kindness of their heart setting something aside because they're so connected to a couple or mm. to an entity or to a potential future business.
Mm. Yes, exactly. But the fact that you just said kindness of the heart, that's literally what I got in ceremony. I was shocked by this revelation. It was so crystal clear. And I was like, what? Like, why would they do that? And that literally it was like, out of the kindness of their heart, literally just out of the kindness, like human generosity. And it was like request and you will receive. I was like, oh my gosh, there should not be more perfect. Because, you know, every time we channel an entity or a business, the codes that that business holds is going, you're going to have to embody them.
You got to go through the initiation.
Yeah. So we continue to go through those. And this was one big thing of number one, are you willing to request your dreams? Are you willing to put it out there? Are you willing to take a risk? Are you willing to be vulnerable and put all your cards on the table?
Totally.
And we were actually had been contemplating, do we raise capital in order to purchase this land? And it, like, Michael was so clear, like, his dream is to have this funded within our family.
Self-funded family legacy. Mm-hmm. That's the vision, you know, and I guess that's always been the vision. That's the thing. So when we get into the practicality of actually starting this business, actually breaking ground in this manufacturing facility, it's like, you know, a lot of people would tell you that you have to sacrifice your vision. You have to cut corners. You have to make sacrifices along the way. And I was really like, is this a sacrifice we're willing to make? And if it feels like a big one, you know?
Yeah. Huge. And see, that's so incredible to me because Request Bar has always meant to me that it will be the entity where I don't have to cut corners, make sacrifices, or play into what society tells me it to be. And the fact that you were so committed to that, it had to go that way because it really motivated me to ask better questions rather than being like, you know, it's fine. We'll just go raise capital.
Yeah, we could totally do it.
Yeah, but I could really feel your heart wasn't in that. Mm-mm. And so that was so clear to me. And that's why I was like bringing this to ceremony. And then I just was bawling and feeling like I could feel that this person had already said yes, even before we asked. And Aya told me like the whole conversation of how to lay it out, what to say, what to do. And I was just bawling because I had this realization, like, you would do that for me. Mm. You would do that for us. And she's like, of course, request and you will receive, which is just, those codes are so amazing. So we sat down with Chelsea over in Sisters, Oregon, and it was a Zoom call. And I actually said before, I was like, I think we're going to need to record this because I thought she was going to have to like go talk to her dad about this before saying anything. And we laid it all on the table. We told her a dream. We told her how sacred this vision is and how important it is that we are the ones that are investing into it. We told her about Delighted By, that we have no idea when it's going to sell. And yet we still really feel like this land is meant to be ours, that we feel so connected to it. And in addition, I like vowed to her to honor the land and to protect its sacredness and to treat it with reverence and not only use it, but give back to it, give back to the community. And I assured her that we have her family, the land, and the community of Sisters' best interest at heart. And she was so funny. She was like, oh my gosh, guys. She like pulled out the, she pulled out the, like the lot, the land like map. And she's like, it's already X'd off those lots for you. Like, we believe in you. We believe in Request Bar. We believe in this vision. We're so honored to have you guys come. It's not a problem. Like, don't worry about it. That land is yours.
Don't even worry about it. What's her response? Like, you guys, you're making a bigger deal out of this. She's like, I know. Just relax.
Yeah.
Relax.
I was like, I'm sweating.
Yeah, she really soothed us.
Yeah.
And the irony of this whole story is we would have never gotten to receive that relief, the awareness and the comfort and relief that came from the awareness of, yo, like, these people have got your back and they're holding this property for you. Mm. Had we not initiated that conversation, had we not actually done what scared the shit out of us at the time and expressed ourselves with that level of vulnerability, we would have never actually received the comfort of now being able to relax into the vision and allow it to once again come to us, to relax into the dream. You know, we probably would have been like so pensive this whole time. Yeah. Even now. You know, yeah. We certainly wouldn't be talking about it, but
yeah,
both of our buttholes would probably be pretty tense around it.
Totally. Yeah.
Right?
Nice. Literally. And not only would we not have been able to receive that, but also because it's all energy, right? That conversation, that energy has now gone into the DNA of Request Bar. Like, as Request Bar is like forming and all the invisible materials are coming together and it's coming into the physical, we are infusing the codes into it. And we're doing that through living it. And so we got to infuse these codes of doing what scares the shit out of us by having a huge vulnerable conversation, but also requesting not only from another human or another organization, but also our guides and the angels and the universe and Aya. And we requested all of this support because we believed and do believe in the vision. We believe in it so strongly that we were willing to ask for that support and we were willing to request it, even though it was vulnerable and uncomfortable. And society has taught us that you go out there and you make it happen on your own, and right. you know, and
you
it's
have
like
it really put together.
Yeah,
you pitch your business plan, and it's like, yeah, like who even knows how to do business? It's so fucking complex.
It's that's a whole other conversation that I'd love for you to share with me.
Oh my gosh, nobody knows how to actually do business. Come on.
Yeah, it was like we're talking to someone who we want to go into business with. We want them to. They're going to be developing this building the building for us. And what does society have you think? Be put together, look really professional, look like you really know your shit. And just, you know, that's what's going to give them the safety. But instead we just relax. We're like, fuck it. Let's just be ourselves.
Yeah.
Let's just be honest.
That's like relationships. And now we get to have business relationships that are based on us being ourselves, right? Just like romantic relationships. Yes. You want to have a romantic relationship that's based on you being you, mm-hmm. not you being mm-hmm. what you think that other person thinks you should be or wants you to be, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's so good. And yeah. just all the magic that led up to the land and the person and the conversation and just like the people involved. It's amazing. So we'll leave them with that.
Yeah.
Okay.
That means we're leaving you guys. Doesn't mean we don't love you though.
we love you guys so much.
Yeah. Lots of life to live and sending you all of our blessings, all of our love, and wherever you're at right now, whatever you're experiencing, just know that we're with you, we love you, and we will see you on the next episode.